Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance you can sort online anytime.
Well, I'm now joined in studio by a woman who sat at the cabinet table in the last government as Minister for Children and Youth Affairs. Following the most recent general election, having lost her seat in Dublin South West, she returned to the States where she was born, but is back in Ireland now for the publication of her late wife, Anne Louise Gilligan's book, Reclaiming the Secrets of Love. Catherine Sapong, good morning to you.
Oh, it's great to be here, Miriam.
Yeah, so nice to see you.
Thank you.
What's it like being back?
It's just absolutely wonderful to be back. You know, I've lived here in Ireland longer than any other place in the world, so it is certainly homecoming. And it, of course, with our weather, it's just so beautiful. But I'm now getting out and about a little bit more and meeting close friends and family and colleagues, and just being part of the Irish culture and the Irish people again.
Before we talk about Anne Louise and also about yourself now, remind me a little about your own background, where you grew up. Did you come from a big family? Where did you come?
Yes, I grew up in Seattle, Washington, and all my siblings are still there. It wasn't considered big by Catholic standards. I have one sister and three brothers, and have, you know, spent some time with them relatively recently. That's another wonderful thing about being back in the United States. I'm closer to them. I mean, I'm living on the East Coast, they're on the West Coast, but the time frames are better for phoning. And I made it, you know, really a special intention to really reconnect and spend more time with them, both physically present as well as, you know, social media, texts, whatever. So it's really, really special for me.
Because you only ended up in Ireland because you met Anne Louise.
Yes.
Who was obviously Irish. Remind people how you met.
Yes.
And where you met Anne Louise.
Yes. Well, in 1981, both of us who didn't know each other at the time, she was in Ireland, I happened to be in New York, living there at the time, and both of us made a choice to do doctorates in theology, and we picked Boston College, but we needed them to pick us. And sure enough, as you say, you know, we met one day in BC, and I had heard that there was this Irish woman there. And in fact, Miriam, there were only two people they chose for the doctorate of philosophy in that program that year. I was one and Anne Louise was the other.
You were meant to meet.
We were meant to meet. And it wasn't really that long after we met you know, we fell hopelessly in love. I was a little concerned, Miriam, at the time, again, early 80s, and Louise was Irish. I didn't know, you know, an Irish woman, you know, was willing to maybe consider another woman to have a relationship with.
And interestingly, of course, Anne Louise was a former nun. Were you out when you met Anne Louise, and was it harder for her? And what was it like when you came back? Interesting, I was talking to Jack O'Rourke there. Obviously, it's 2021, he's gay, but he's saying it's imperfect, but it's much better now, isn't it, than when you and Anne Louise met?
It's so much better now.
Yeah.
And I listened to Jack, and congratulations to him. Wonderful. Great to know he's part of the gay lesbian family. Yes, it was very difficult. No, I was not out. It was 1981, and we went to study theology in a Jesuit college. Are you kidding me? And I was out to some people, you know, close friends. Anne Louise wasn't out because she had never had, you know, a lesbian relationship before or a relationship with another woman. So, but again, you know, I remember so well when I shared my own identity with her and was trying to describe how I felt about her, and I had no idea how she would respond, and she just looked at me and she said, "I don't believe in labels, I believe in love." And honest to God, that was the beginning, Miriam, and we were off. and the book, she's still talking about love.
Yeah, which is beautiful, and we will talk about it. Okay. Now, you came back to Ireland.
Yes.
And you both still, I mean, you became obviously so important, the pair of you in marriage equality in that campaign. But initially, because of your careers and you were worried about them, You lay low, didn't you? We did lay low.
Yeah. It has to be said. You know, again, our group of friends who knew about our relationship, our life partnership. We had a ritual to become life partners in Rockport, Massachusetts before we left the United States. As I said, I don't know that anybody else was using that phrase at that time. We just made it up. We came back here, but yes, we had a lot of people, friends who knew, and then there was a much wider group of people. Again, most of whom were part of the Shanty on Kasan, which the community education organization that we founded, who knew that we lived together, we were a couple, we you know, I'm sure behaved as if, you know, we were in that intimate relationship, and just embraced us.
It's 4 years, of course, since Anne Louise died. Sadly, only a short time after you both married. But how happy do you think she was to finally have her union with you, Catherine, recognised by the Irish state?
It was the most extraordinary day of our lives, that moment in Dublin Castle when we watched the scoreboard and the votes come in, that the people of Ireland had chosen to recognize not only our relationship, our life partnership, our marriage, but were willing to do that for everyone else. And what we had suggested to them, proposed when we went and knocked on the doors, knocked on lots of doors, it has to be said, with other extraordinary people, is that everyone should have the right to marry the person they choose to love. So it was absolutely incredible. The other thing, though, I would say is that, you know, at the time, Anne Louise was not well. You know, previously had her first major brain hemorrhage about a couple years prior to that. And when we went to Dublin Castle and experienced that great joy, there was still a tinge of sadness. She really didn't feel that well that day, even though she looks absolutely glorious, and had to miss the big party later that evening because of that.
And her book, which you have there beside you with me today, you've edited,
yes,
and it's just been published. It was written 20 years ago. Why wasn't it published at the time? And how important is it for you now that it is being published?
Indeed, Reclaiming the Secret of Love, published by Peter Lang. It is like a miracle that it is being published now, Miriam. You know, why wasn't it published 20 years ago? I will say, I think it's just because it was ahead of its time. You know, we had many less publishers here in this country. We tried to get it published in the United States as well. It's so... You know, when I went back to it to edit it, it's so beautifully written. It's Anne Louise in her prime. What she could do is use common language to communicate difficult concepts. And one of the most, and also it's just a lovely feel, the book. It's not too big. It's not too small. It has a beautiful painting on its cover. It was done by her friend, Grania Dowling, a great Irish artist. She asked her to paint it. And it's called Every Woman. She titled it Every Woman because what she wanted to do was to, you know, try to represent what's in the book. And that the book is about encouraging women to become themselves. The woman here has such a quiet authenticity and authority, a contented happiness, and a composed, you know, expression of I am who I am now. And where does that come from? It comes from, as Anne Louise describes in the book, it comes from a deep love of self. And you know as well as I do, Miriam, Anne Louise was a woman who loved herself fiercely. And she also uses the book to lay out a way of encouraging others to love themselves, be themselves, and come into relationship with, you know, people who are different by gender or class, but especially gender. It's a lot about gender and women and men, is that if they do love themselves, then they can have a deeper mutual relationship with each other.
She was a very spiritual person, though, Anne Louise, wasn't she? And obviously it was a disappointment the book wasn't published, but she left a great legacy, you know, through her work in DCU with On Kasong, which you both set up to help women go back to education.
She did leave an incredible legacy, both exactly as I've often said, an educator extraordinaire, where she was in DCU for over 30 years, which they, you know, acknowledge. There's a theater named after her. It's so beautiful to see that. And frankly, again, the book, describes some of her approach to how she was an educator. And also it describes the kind of education that she practiced with women out in our own home in the shanty first for 15 years, and then when we built on Kasan. And it really became the philosophy of an approach to education where grounded in love and respect for your students, you challenged them to be the best people they could be. And if that meant, you know, that they had to work hard, then so be it. If that meant that they had to let go of some of the ways and beings that they were told to be by parents or other people in authority in order really to maximize their capacity, so be it.
I know you said at the time of her death to me, you would never be the same again. No doubt you still miss her desperately.
I miss her each day, Miriam, absolutely. And, you know, I think the, again, you know, coming back to having worked, it was such a joy to work on the book. I met her again, as I said, in her prime. And really with all the reasons why I fell in love with her the first time and the way that we lived our lives for such a long time. What an incredible, extraordinary gift to have for that. And may I say too, just if I may, when we chose the shanty, you know, to live in, and as I said, I'll never live in a home longer than I've lived in the shanty. It was because of, you know, its setting in the beautiful Dublin Hills, the peace and tranquility of the area, the healing energy of the air. And then we were able, you know, to offer that as a setting really for women and then ultimately some men coming up from West Tala to begin our work on Kasan. And on Kasan is also celebrating its 35th anniversary in September. So it's a great time for the book to come out where she describes a lot of her work there. You know, yes, I miss her each day. I am the woman that I am today because of my love relationship with Anne Louise.
But I think she would be pleased. You have found love again.
She would be very pleased, I think. I have found love again.
Tell me about it.
No, I'm not going to ask you what would you like to know. This is what I will say. What I want to say is that I am exceptionally happy. Can you see my face,
yes.
Miriam? Okay. I actually wanted to. I think that's probably why I did. What I feel is I have a second chance at love. And what I would say to anyone who's thinking about that is that, you know, look for the one you want. Do not compromise either. And again, as Anne Louise would have often said, and it's in the book, image the possible. And so I'm just following really the approach, the philosophy and the practice of my beloved, my first beloved, who I had such a long and wonderful life partnership with and also marriage.
Another academic. You've a weakness for academics.
What can I say? You know, exactly. I mean, intelligence is important. So, yes, she is. But again, a wonderful communicator, as Anne Louise was, is able to speak in wonderful common language, grab people's attention, and also, you know, put out the challenge for, you know, we need to change some things if we want to have a better life for ourselves and the world.
Because you were explaining to my producer, Cora, which I think is really interesting, that you can still grieve and be sad, isn't it, about someone you've lost, but be hopeful and love again.
You can. You know, there is this wonderful American poet called Mary Oliver, and she writes these lines about grief and joy, and that you can hold those really powerful feelings of and emotions of grief and joy in the same body.
Mm.
And that is the way I have felt, I mean, since Anne Louise's passing, needless to say, it was a whole lot more grief then. But it was the greatest and most extraordinary grief I've ever felt. In that, I knew I wanted to reach for joy again, and so set out on that path. But you know, I thought joy was what I was doing. I was looking for another companion, another love. I believed that would help me to be the best person I could be, to help me develop, move into my next chapter of my life. But what I found was in meeting Jennifer, and that's her name, Jennifer, is that, is that I still hold that grief, but she has lightened it. with the extraordinary experience of joy of being in relation again with somebody who's, you know, willing to take the journey with me.
Oh, well, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Marianne.
As we close, give my listeners the name of Anne-Louise's book, and if they would like to buy it, how would they do so?
Okay, thank you. It's called Reclaiming the Secret of Love, Feminism, Imagination, and Sexual Difference. It's published by Peter Lang Publisher, so you just go onto their website and you can order it there.
Well, Catherine Sapone, thank you so much. Are you selling up and heading back to the States?
I am selling the shanty. I put it on the market. I am going to stay in the United States. I'm not sure for how long, but maybe for the rest of my life.
Well, make sure you keep coming
back. I keep coming back.
As ever, Catherine, thank you so much for being my guest this morning.
Wonderful to be with you again, Miriam.
Thank you so much.